Chapter 9. It was the itching that woke me the next morning. The rash that I'd predicted the night before covered my back, and no matter how I twisted or turned, I couldn't reach all the itchy spots. I was getting desperate when I finally found that if I twisted around a certain way and rubbed against a bar of the cage, I could relieve some of the worst itching.
"You look like an old bear when you do that," said a voice from above. "Not that I've seen many old bears."
A bright shaft of sunlight came through a hole high on the wall in the general direction from which the voice had come. At first I thought I might be having a divine visitation, but the voice had been high and squeaky, not at all the sort of voice I thought would belong to a divine being. "Maybe it's a trick," I thought. But it couldn't be Edric. He was sound asleep. It wasn't the witch, either. I could see her lying on her back with her head turned to the side. Her mouth was open, drool trickling onto the thin mattress with the stained gray cover. "Where are you?" I asked, squinting through the shaft of sunlight and the dancing dust motes. Other than the cracks in the shutters covering the two windows, the hole in the wall was the only source of light in the room.
"I'm up here," squeaked the voice. "By the rafters."
I looked toward the ceiling. A tiny patch of darkness seemed to shift, but I couldn't be sure. "Sorry," I said. "I can't really make you out from here."
"But I'm right." "Ah, forget it. Here, is this better?"
A bit of shadow detached itself from the rafter and flapped down into the dimly lit room. "Oh, my," I said, taken by surprise. It was a bat. As a rule, I didn't like bats, although I'd never encountered one in person before. It was just that I'd heard so many bad things about them.
"Are you satisfied yet? Can I go back to my rafter now?"
the bat asked. "Of course," I said, embarrassed by my bad manners. "I didn't mean to inconvenience you."
"Inconvenience? My, aren't you a nice little frog? None of the other idiots around here would ever think about what is or isn't convenient for me. Take that nasty little witch on the bed, for instance."
I turned toward the witch in the back of the room, afraid that she might be awake and listening.
"Don't worry," said the bat. "Vonnebee's still asleep. I always know when she's awake, believe me. Anyway, she never thinks about what's convenient for me. It's always, 'Go away, you stupid bat,' or 'Get that bug, you stupid bat.' If I didn't know better, I'd think my name was Stupid Bat. It isn't, of course. It's Lil Stinker. That's what my first mistress named me when I was a youngster. Now, that woman was far more considerate. She used to say, 'Lil Stinker, you'd better get that fat, juicy bug or you won't have any dinner tonight.' See what I mean? She was a much more thoughtful person."
I was beginning to feel overwhelmed. I had always thought that bats were quiet creatures, but this bat could talk more than anyone I'd ever met. I rubbed my back against the bar again. The rash was itching more now and was spreading to my chest.
"I couldn't help but hear you talking to Vonnebee last night," said Lil. "You can talk to humans, huh? That's too bad. The only humans I can talk to are witches with the talent, and that's the way I like it. So, did your friend eat the worm?"
"He sure did. He ate the whole thing. I was afraid that he'd be poisoned, but he's fine."
"I wouldn't say that exactly. He's still asleep, isn't he?"
"Well, yes, but neither of us has gotten much sleep lately. He's really tired."
"Is that it? Go shake him and wake him up."
I was going to let him sleep for a while. He needs his rest.
"Go shake him now and see what he does."
"I'd rather not."
"Just do it. It's for your own good."
It was obvious that the bossy little bat was going to pester me until I did what she'd said. Reluctantly, I hopped to Edric's side and gently shook his shoulder. He continued to snore. I shook him harder. He snorted and rolled over. "I can't seem to wake him," I said, frowning.
"Of course not. You won't be able to if he ate that worm. Didn't you see the vial Vonnebee had in her hand? It was sleeping potion. A tiny drop and you'll sleep for days. What do you think those witches used to help Sleeping Beauty and Snow White get all that beauty rest? A full vial can knock you out for 100 years or more. Now, unless you want to take a very long nap, I suggest that you don't let the witch know that you're still awake. Go curl up somewhere and pretend that you're asleep, or she'll find another way to give you that potion. She has her reasons for wanting you two to stay quiet. Oh, now watch out, Lil Stinker said softly. She's waking up. I scurried to the back of the cage and pretended to be asleep, just in case the bat was right. With my eyes half closed, I watched Vonnebee yawn, sit up, and scratch her ribs. Drool shone wetly on her cheek, but she didn't seem to notice. Kicking off the grimy blanket, she swung her feet to the floor.
What are you looking at?
Vonnebee said grumpily, looking up at the bat. Lil Stinker didn't give her an answer, but the witch obviously didn't expect one, for she stood up and shuffled across the room without another word. Still in her bare feet, Vonnebee went out the door, leaving it open. I thought the fresh air would be a relief, but instead it stirred up the dust in the room and recirculated the odor of unwashed clothes, filthy cages, bat droppings, and old grease. I was almost happy to see the witch come back inside and close the door behind her. Still scratching her ribs, Vonnebee shuffled to the fireplace, where she bent over the fire, her back to our cage. She lifted a wooden spoon from a hook on the wall and stirred something in a greasy black pot. Then she took it to the table in the middle of the room and sat down to eat. When she was finished, she scraped the bottom of the pot with her wooden spoon.
Here now. Can't have anyone go hungry with all this good food around, can we?
Said the witch as she walked toward our side of the room.
Don't eat it all at once, 'cause you won't be getting any more today.
My view was blocked by a stack of books on one side and a collection of bottles on the other, but I could hear other creatures moving about in their cages as the witch gave each of them their own dollop of food. When the witch came near our cage, I kept my eyes closed and made my breath come slowly and evenly, trying to make it sound like Edric's. Vonnebee opened the cage door, and I thought my heart would beat its way out of my chest, but I willed myself to hold still. Even when a long fingernail poked me in the ribs, I kept my eyes closed and stayed as limp as I could.
Princess, huh?
Vonnebee's voice was harsh and mocking.
What's it like being a frog, Miss High and Mighty?
The hand moved away, and I refused to look, picturing Edric receiving the same treatment.
As for you, Prince, slain any dragons lately? Or is it dragonflies now?
Vonnebee laughed, the shrill sound grating on my eardrums. And people say that I have a strange laugh, I thought. When the cage door had shut with a soft click, and I was sure that the witch had moved away, I opened my eyes to slits and was relieved to see her pick up her sack from the floor and head out the door.
Behave yourselves, vermin, she told the animals. No wild parties while I'm gone.
Laughing, the witch slammed the door behind her. With the witch gone, I could finally relax. I bent my leg and scratched my back with my toe, but I still couldn't reach the really itchy spots. For the first time, I was able to take a better look at my surroundings. The cottage was small, with the witch's bed against the wall opposite the only door. Lil Stinker hung from a rough-hewn rafter near the front of the cottage and appeared to be asleep. Bird's bones suspended from a frayed cord clattered together. Our cage rested on a dust-covered shelf next to a stack of books. The skull of an unborn baby dragon sat on top of the books, the dust so thick that the eye sockets were nearly filled. A collection of jars and bottles stood on the other side of the cage. They were all labeled, although some of the labels were turned so that I couldn't read them. Rabbit's ears, cat's tails, and wild boar's tusks filled some of the larger jars, and crystals and dried compounds filled others. One jar was filled with dark blue, fuzzy clumps and was labeled Troll Navel Lint. Another contained smooth white balls suspended in a clear liquid. When one bobbed about, turning to stare at me, I gasped. They were eyeballs, obviously alive from the way they jostled for position. I quickly realized that there were other jars with living contents, like the squirming, puckering pieces of green flesh in a jar labeled Lizard Lips, and the wrinkled, snuffling Pig Snouts. The contents of one slim vial may not have been alive, but the colored gases swirled, mixing and separating in intricate, never-repeating patterns. Something thumped by the fireplace, and I scurried across my cage to look. There was nothing there but an old stick used for poking logs, and two crudely constructed barrels, one labeled Trash Can, and the other Trash Can't. The trash can was uncovered. When I listened carefully, I thought I could hear something gurgling inside. A wooden lid covered the trash can't, and as I watched, I could see the whole thing shake and thump. To my surprise, I could also hear creatures calling from other cages.
"Who are they?"
squeaked one voice.
"I don't know, but I heard one of them talking to Lil Stinker."
The speaker's voice was so faint and breathy that I had to strain to hear it.
"Do you think she'll introduce us?"
"I don't know. Ask Miss Bossy. You know, she always has to be in charge."
"I'd be happy to," interrupted the bat, "but I don't know their names yet. Hey there, frog!"
Because I'd heard the entire conversation, I was ready when Lil called to me. "I'm Emma, and this is Edric," I began. "We're both enchanted frogs. I'm a princess, and Edric is really a prince." I had never heard animals howl with laughter before. It would have made me feel defensive if they hadn't sounded so funny. I began to laugh, too, and suddenly I felt the best I had in days. Lil shifted around on her perch until she faced me again and waited until my laughter grew weak enough that I could hear her.
"That's some laugh you have there, princess," Lil declared as I hiccuped my way to silence. "Did you get that when you became a frog, or have you had it all along?"
"It's my laugh no matter who or what I am. My real name is Princess Emeralda, and his is Prince Edric. I'm the only child of King Limelin and Queen Chartreuse of the Kingdom of Greater Greensward. Edric is the eldest son of the rulers of Upper Monte Vista." Proud of my royal heritage, I was sure that these creatures couldn't help but respect me now. So I was stunned by the reception my news received.
"Yeah, right," squeaked a voice.
"Then I'm King Mouseworthy," squeaked another.
The creatures acted as if they'd heard the funniest thing in the world. Lil Stinker laughed so hard that she tumbled off her rafter and flapped wildly, trying to regain her balance. Indignant, I tried to shout over their laughter. "But I really am a princess. I can play the lute and embroider and sing and dance and do all the other things that princesses are supposed to do, although not as well as my mother would like. I can also do some other things that most princesses can't do. I can count and read and..."
"Did you say read?"
asked Lil, suddenly becoming serious. "Why, yes," I said. "And I can swim, although I couldn't do that before I became a frog. I can..."
"All right, I believe you. That's quite a list of accomplishments," said Lil.
"It sure is," chimed in a breathy voice. "I wish I could count. It would probably help me with some of my patterns."
My legs were beginning to itch. The rash was spreading. "Now it's your turn," I said, feeling moderately appeased. "I want to hear everyone else's names."
"That's easy enough," said the bat. "I'm Lil, as you know, and in the cage below you are the spiders, Eenie, Meenie, and Moe. They used to live by the broom in the corner, but Vonnebee found them and stuck them in a cage.
We had another brother named Miney,
whispered a tiny voice,
but the witch stepped on him when she caught us.
I'm so sorry, I said, furiously scratching behind my eardrum.
It's one of the hazards of being a spider, said the voice sadly.
Clifford and Louise live in the cage next to the spiders, continued Lil. Clifford and Louise are the mice who used to live under the bed. They've been together for a long time, so they tend to finish each other's sentences. Vonnebee said she got tired of hearing us scurry around. She put us in the cage, and we don't have anywhere to go. It's so boring. We used to have the best adventures. You wouldn't believe what we found in the walls.
Some things are better left alone, said Lil. And that brings us to Fang. Fang has lived here since Vonnebee moved in. She found him in the yard and put him in a cage her very first day. Fang doesn't talk much, so I'll tell you a bit about him. His cage is on the floor in the corner. It's the biggest cage in the cottage, but it's not nearly big enough for Fang. He was a large snake when he got here, and he's grown since then.
A snake, I thought. Even if it was in a cage, the thought of a snake in the room made my heart beat faster and my skin feel cold and clammy.
It's our turn, breathed one of the spiders. I want to hear how the two frogs were enchanted. Go ahead, princess, squeaked a mouse. Tell us how you became a frog.
With a snake in the room, all I wanted to do was hide, but it seemed only fair that I answer. I swallowed hard and tried to speak normally. Actually, I began, it was Edric who became a frog first. He said something to a witch that she didn't like, and she turned him into a frog. Then when I kissed him so he would turn back into a prince, I turned into a frog too. When we first saw Vonnebee, we thought she was the witch who did it, but it wasn't her at all.
Are you kidding? Said Lil. Vonnebee couldn't turn a cabbage into coleslaw. She's trying to be a witch, but she doesn't have the knack for it.
If she's not a witch, what does she want with Edric and me? What is she going to do with those plants she found?
I'll tell you if you really want to know, said the bat.
She'd be the one to tell,
whispered one of the spiders in a voice so soft I might have imagined it.
Lil Stinker has lived here most of her life. She's tied to that rafter with a piece of twine. It's too short to reach any of the cages, or one of us would have helped her untie it long ago. I've seen her try many a time, but that knot lasts like iron. I wish I could get up there to see what kind of knot the old witch used.
Mo's very interested in knots. Innie and I like to try different designs in our webs, but our brother has made knots his life study. You can see some of our handiwork on the broom against the back wall. Innie, Miney, Mo, and I did it before the witch caught us.
I'm sure you're very talented, I said.
If you're all finished talking, I'll tell her about Vonnebee now. I refuse to try to speak over your cackling.
Lil glared at each of the cages before swinging around to face me.
I'm going to have to give you a little history first. Vonnebee has lived here for about a year. I'm the only one who's been here longer than that. I used to live here with the old witch, Madine. She was a nice old lady, although kind of crazy toward the end. Hardly anybody came by because she didn't like company and she made people feel uncomfortable. She had me live with her only because she didn't like the bugs. The old woman thought cleaning was a waste of her time, so there were always plenty of bugs, and I was here to eat them.
Lil sighed and rearranged her wings.
Those were the good old days. That witch could do real magic, and some days this place was hopping. But Madine was old, even when I first came to live with her, and her health wasn't good. Then she got sick, and she couldn't take care of the animals anymore. So she let them all out of their cages. By then she was too weak to undo my twine, so I was still here when she lay down on her bed and disappeared in a puff of smoke. We'd known that a young woman from one of the farms had been snooping around for some time. We didn't let on, but we knew. The day the old witch vanished, Vonnebee took the place over. The puff of smoke was still fogging up the room when that woman barged in and made herself at home. As far as I can tell, she hasn't even a hint of magic in her. Her only claim to fame is that she can read, which, I admit, is an accomplishment in itself. Why, these days, the best witches are the ones with the talent who can also read. You have to read the old spells, you see. Passing them down by word of mouth can be a bit shaky. People forget things, mispronounce a word or two. Who knows what can happen then? Anyway, Vonnebe really wants to be a witch, but it takes more than just wanting. You have to have some talent, or you can do only the simplest spells, the kind you just read from the book. Vonnebe's not interested in the basic spells. She's got it in her head that to be a real witch, she has to do big, showy magic, the kind that would impress lots of people. She doesn't realize that the little magic is powerful, too. But if she doesn't have the ability to do the magic, why is she here? I can't answer that one. Maybe she doesn't realize she can't do it yet. Maybe she's too stubborn to give up. Or maybe her life on the farm was so bad she'd rather be here. What is she looking for now? I asked. She has some idea about trying one of Mudine's fancier spells, said Lil. The spell requires some unusual ingredients like that dragon's breath on the shelf next to you. See it there? It's the pretty bottle with the swirly colors. It was part of Mudine's collection. Vonnebe would never have gotten it on her own. What is the spell for? Nothing unusual. She thinks it will give her everlasting youth and beauty. These things usually backfire, but there's no telling her that.
Tell the frog about the rest of the ingredients.
The voice was dry and raspy. Just hearing it made my skin crawl. The snake, I thought, shuddering.
Oh, yeah, said Lil. Aside from some rare plants, all she needed were the tongues and toes of talking frogs. She has plans for you and your friend. Your fate was sealed as soon as she heard you talk. That's why she wanted to keep you calm. She wouldn't want you to damage those precious tongues and toes right when she was about to use them.
Our tongues and toes? She wouldn't listen when we tried to tell her that we aren't really frogs. I even told her that my parents would reward her, but it didn't make any difference.
Of course not. If you were humans, you wouldn't be of any use to her. She needs talking frogs to make her spell work. No gold or jewels would get her what she wants. Only the right ingredients could do that. And that includes you, or at least parts of you.
What are we going to do?
Hope that she doesn't find the plants she's looking for. She can't do the spell without them.
You really do know everything that goes on around here, I said.
I should. I've been here the longest and can see just about everything from my rafter,
Lil said proudly. Wind blew through the cracks in the shutters, sending dust and scraps of litter swirling around the cottage. The room grew dark and rain pattered on the roof. It lasted only a few seconds, then abruptly stopped. The wind blew again, and I coughed at the swirling dust. When the rain came in earnest, it was heavier and louder than before. A steady drizzle fell through a dozen holes in the roof, leaving damp spots on the table and floor. Lil edged along her rafter, avoiding the worst of the leaks. Everyone had grown quiet when the rain began, lulled by the steady drumming. Although the sound was soothing, I was unable to relax, for I'd begun to feel a prickling down my spine as if someone was watching me. Certain that I would have noticed Vonnebe's return, I glanced over my shoulder. At first I thought that no one was there, but then I noticed the jar of eyeballs. Every one was focused on me. It made me feel the way I had on the rare occasion that my father had me sit beside him on the raised dais of the throne room while he received petitioners. Courtiers and commons alike had stared at me as if hoping I'd make a fool of myself so they'd have something to talk about later. I'd hated the feeling then, and I hated it even more now. These eyes were unsettling even when they weren't looking at me. I tried to ignore them, but it was nearly impossible. In a way, it was almost a relief when the door squealed on its ancient hinges and Vonnebe stalked into the room, all the eyes turned to watch her. Tossing her dripping sack on the table, she hurried to light the lantern. I crouched down and pretended to be asleep, but my heart began to race when the witch walked toward my shelf. This is it, I thought. If anyone had ever told me that I'd end up as a frog used in a witch's spell, I would have sworn he was crazy. But now... The witch stopped beside my cage and I held my breath. I was positive that I was about to lose some of my favorite body parts until I realized that Vonnebe was looking through a pile of books and not at me.
It's somewhere in one of these,
Vonnebe muttered to herself.
The old woman kept good records. I'm sure she wrote about the plants I need.
She took the dragon skull from the pile of books and set it aside, then selected some books and carried them to the table. A few minutes later, she was back, shuffling through the books again. Each time the witch approached our cage, I pretended to be asleep. I opened my eyes only when I was sure she was looking the other way, and then I opened them only a little. I was glad of this the next time she passed by, for she paused by our cage to look at us. Even with my eyes closed, I could feel the woman's eyes boring into me.
The frog's tongues and toes can wait until I'm about to start,
Vonnebe decided after a long silence.
They'll be more potent if they're nice and fresh.
I heard her move on to the books and look them over one more time. A chill crept through me, and I fought to keep it from showing. Vonnebe selected a book and returned to the table. The room grew quiet, and although I knew she was lost in her studies, I was too scared to open my eyes.
Tongues and toes, I thought. She's going to take our tongues and toes. Even if she doesn't kill us, we'll be maimed for the rest of our lives. What are we going to do?
It was late by the time Vonnebe found the book that she needed. Musty and yellowing with age, it contained notes written years before by the old witch. Vonnebe pored over the pictures, looking for the plants named in the spell.
Found it, she said at last. But according to this, I need the stems, not the leaves.
Good, she said, yawning.
I'll get them first thing in the morning. Tomorrow is the big day.
Still studying the drawing, the witch fell asleep with the book clutched in her hands. When I was sure that Vonnebe was asleep, I hurried to Edric's side and shook him as hard as I could.
Edric, I whispered in his eardrum, we have to think of something. We have to get out of here tonight. She's going to cut out your tongue tomorrow. She's going to cut off your toes. Please, Edric, you have to wake up.
Edric groaned and raised his head to look at me through heavily lidded eyes.
Leave me alone, Emma, he said. I'm too tired to talk.
You're awake, Edric, you're awake.
Edric's head sank down onto his arm. I grabbed his shoulders in desperation and shook him.
We have to talk now, Edric. We only have until tomorrow morning.
Edric began to snore. I sank to the floor of the cage in despair. What am I going to do? I thought for the 100th time that day. Fat tears rolled down my cheeks and plopped onto the bottom of the cage.
Hey, it's not that bad,
Lil said from her rafter.
If he woke up enough to talk, you'll probably be able to wake him completely in the morning. Leave him alone and get some rest yourself. You're going to need it tomorrow.
I can't sleep, Lil. I'm too scared, I protested. And even if I could, this itchy rash is driving me crazy.
A rash, huh? I can't keep you from being afraid, but I may know of a remedy for that rash. We'll need light for it, though, so we'll see about it tomorrow. Now relax and try to sleep. Nothing is hopeless. At least, not yet.